Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman. Here, as always, with my colleague Mike Morial. Mike, you can smell the draft in the air. We're getting close.
I am fueling up, Adam. Going with the premium coffee today, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know.
Buckle
you know
up,
it.
Folks. Buckle up.
Two tremendous guests coming up, too, Adam, right? So there's a lot to get to. John Williams of NHL Central Scouting is going to join us. You know, we felt it timely to have an evaluator from the Western Hockey League on, since, you know, there's some interesting draft-eligible prospects representing Canada at the U18s this week. So we need to get some important insight into that. And, you know, we'll also have Matt Savoy of Winnipeg in the Western Hockey League. He joined us during the Top Prospects game. It was a fantastic interview. And of course, Matt's brother is an NCAA champion, right, Adam? Carter Savoy. He scored the winning goal in overtime against the University of Michigan in the Frozen Four semifinal on the way to the national title. So congrats to Carter Savoy. And we'll talk to Matt about his brother, of course. So there's a lot to get to. And I know that one of the things that you wanted to discuss, Adam, too, is there are some big tentpole events coming up in the NHL.
Yes, you know it's draft season when we're hearing about final rankings, and Central Scouting will have its final rankings come out on May the 5th. It will be the top skaters for North America and international, the top goalies for North America and international. Right after that, we will have the NHL draft lottery drawing on May 10th for the 16 teams that did not make the playoffs. And not long after that, Mike, you and I will have our first mock drafts coming out just for the 16 lottery teams. So we're not going to unveil everything all at once, but stay tuned for that. And then the combine is back. We are going back to Buffalo for the NHL scouting combine, May 29th to June 5th. It's all coming together. The draft pieces are all falling into place.
They certainly are. And just a quick note to the fans out there, the NHL draft lottery, there's just going to be two lottery drawings this year, one for the number one pick and only at the top, or I should say the last 11 teams with the worst regular season record point totals will be eligible to receive that number one selection. And then there will be another drawing for the number two pick. In the past, we've had drawings for the top three picks, but just for the top two this season. And once the top two picks have been established, the clubs will be slotted in the order of their finish in the regular season. So the draft lottery is something that's always fun. We get to learn which NHL club is maybe going to get the cream of the crop of this draft class. But it's overall, this looks like a pretty good draft. It's deep in centers. It's deep in defensemen. So if you're even in the middle, late first round, I think you're getting someone special here, Adam.
You're right, Mike. Teams are going to get really good players. But let's bring in somebody who knows all about these players, John Williams of NHL Central Scouting. Thank you for joining us today. How are things?
Things are great. Great to be here. Always good to talk to you guys.
Always good to talk to you, John. Thanks for coming on. I guess to start, I'm just curious, how difficult has it been, John, to project these players after scouting through two seasons of on and off play due to COVID and maybe not getting the amount of viewings you normally would?
Yeah, it's certainly been a challenge, I think, you know, for everybody, team scouts, ourselves, everybody. Last year, you know, in Ontario, kids didn't even play. And in the Western League, they had a shortened bubble season, 20 games or so. Some of the top kids were in the AHL. Some guys like Sillinger left to go to the USHL. The Europeans didn't come over, many of them. So it was a very different looking Western League last year. And as we've kind of found out over the course of the year, there were some guys that maybe were not as good as we thought they were, and vice versa, because they haven't had a lot of playing time. So it's been a challenge for everybody, you know, obviously with the border situation as well. But I think there's going to be an impact from this for the next couple of years. I think there's certainly on our list, the second half is going to look a lot different than the first half. And I think it's going to be, some players are just going to pop maybe next year. You know, it's just going to take some guys some more time.
Matt Savoy, obviously a high player on this year's draft list, sustained that a lower body injury in Winnipeg's 3-1 win over Prince Albert on April 22nd. I guess that's something that everyone's going to monitor right now, but obviously this is a special player. What is it about Matt that makes you believe, you know, he'll be a solid pro in the near future?
He's got that game breaker ability. There's a few guys like that in this year's draft that you know, he's a dynamic skater, which obviously, you know, he's an NHL skater, I think, right now, which gives him, you know, an advantage over a lot of players his age. I think he processes the game very well. He thinks it, you know, he's a very elite thinker. He does things at such a high speed. And, you know, you guys will obviously watch a lot more of the NHL these days than I do, but the game is fast and you got to play fast. You got to think fast. And he has that ability. And he's the type of kid, you know, that wants to be a difference maker. He wants to, you know, score goals, make plays. He wants to make an impact every time he's on the ice.
So, John, let's stay in Winnipeg for a minute and talk about one of Mattsevoy's teammates, Connor Geeky. He's got a lot of the attributes that teams look for when they're trying to find that, quote, franchise center with the size and the strength and the scoring touch. It seems like an area of need for him is skating. In the time that you followed Geeky, does it look like it's gotten better? Is it good enough, or is it good enough now that teams will see him as a potential top 10 pick in the draft?
I think it's fine, really, where he is right now. You know, when you compare him to somebody like Savoy, who has a dimensional quality with his skating, it looks maybe some nights it's worse than others. And again, he's a young 17-year-old, I think, in terms of his physical development. He's a big kid, so there are nights when the legs are a little bit heavy. But I'm old enough to have worked in junior hockey when with the Sioux Greyhounds, and we drafted Joe Thornton, and similar skating style to Joe at that same age, you know, big lanky guy, picks his feet up a little bit. And I think for him, it's just a matter of time as he adds some, you know, weight, strength to his game. He's also, you know, a high level baseball player. So I don't know how much of his time has been spent specifically training to play hockey or for skating. I think, you know, his brother has proven that he can skate well enough to play in the NHL. So I think he's a guy that I don't expect him, you know, I'm not somebody who likes to see 18-year-olds in the NHL to begin with, but I think he's got a little bit longer curve than maybe some other kids. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to find at 21, 22 years old that this guy is going to be a big time player.
Yeah. Morgan Geeky, forward for the Seattle Kraken, and then Noah Geeky, who's playing Division II baseball. So quite a athletic family there for sure. Left wing Rieger Lorenz of Okotoks in the Alberta mm-hmm. Junior Hockey League, a player we've been hearing about a lot, John, down the stretch. He's also playing for Canada at the U18s, number 24 in the midterm release. He's headed to the NCAA champion, University of Denver, next season. A lot to like about him. He hits hard, loves to shoot, has looked pretty good at the U18s, nice lead passes, give and goes. Is he a legitimate first round option here?
I think so. I think going into the under 18s, you know, he's like you're saying, he checks a lot of boxes, as the saying goes. You know, he's got size, he can skate, he can play, you know, on his team in Okotoks. He plays in all situations all the time. Again, a guy who wants to be a difference maker there, playing a little bit different role with Team Canada right now. But I think you see a kid that, when we saw him this summertime at the under 18 tryout camps for Team Canada, he got better every day. He was a little bit of the deer in the headlights, you know, to start off. Pace was a little bit much for him, but what was good to see was how he adapted. He quickly adapted. He got quicker. He made plays quicker. He realized how much time and space he had. And I think, you know, a guy with that size who can score, can make plays, can bring a physical element, is something that will be very attractive to a lot of teams.
John, Denton Matejchuk of Moose Jaw is a guy, looks like one of the most complete defensemen in this year's draft class. The skating really stands out, drives the high-end offensive game, and a really smart defensive game. And I like how, when he's defending, he's smart about it with his stick and his feet rather than trying to take on guys physically. But from your expert point of view, when you watch Matejchuk, what is it about him that makes him a special player?
Well, I think, you know, in some ways it's similar to what Savoy is in terms of, this guy's a difference maker. He wants to make an impact every time he's on the ice. And you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he'll drive the offense when he's on the ice. He'll lead the rush. He'll join the rush. He'll make plays. He'll score. He's a solid built player who will, when the opportunity presents itself, he'll step up on somebody and make a big hit. He makes big plays. I think that sort of game breaker mentality is something that you really like to see in a player.
Owen Pickering of Swift Current, John, number 21 on the midterm list, goes about 6'3", 179, tall, lanky defenseman, really good skater, though. He seems to put himself in good position on the ice to make plays. Looks real composed from what I've seen at the U18s for Canada. Is Pickering one of those high-ceiling players that, you know, that some team could take a chance on just because of, you know, the possible reward in 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, and I don't think it's like you're really taking a chance on him either. Like he brings enough with what he is right now to be, I think, to contribute at the NHL level. You know, down the road, obviously, he's going to have to get stronger. But he's come a long way in a fairly short period of time as well. He's grown a lot, I think, over the last couple of years. His skating is very good. He's very poised with the puck under pressure. You know, playing in Swift Current, you know, this year, they're a very young team. They had some tough nights, as a young team will have. And he handled that quite well and became the, you know, number one defenseman on the team and played big minutes and managed those minutes well. And he does show you that he does have some offensive ability as well. He makes plays. He's scoring a little bit. There is certainly a very intriguing aspect to his game that, you know, makes you think that he could really take a step in the next couple of years too.
John, I want to go back to Moose Jaw for a minute. Jagr Furkus is a guy who really opened up eyes at the CHL Top Prospects game last month with a goal and assist. Had a solid regular season, 80 points in 66 games in the Furkus Circus, as the Moose Jaw social, people kind of unveiled. He scored a Michigan goal in Moose Jaw's win in game one of the Western League playoffs. Has he been sort of an under the radar guy? When you watch Jagr this season, you know, before and after Top Prospects, what have you liked about him?
Well, yeah, I would consider him, for me, he was an under the radar guy. Cause I went in last year into the Regina bubble and I only saw them play one time. And, you know, we were trying to sort out the O3s last year. And he didn't really pop for me last year. And then I know this year, having seen him, you know, quite a number of times now, he's an elite skilled player in the Western Hockey League right now. Like, he is very smart offensively. One of those guys that has the ability to hide in plain sight. Like, all of a sudden the puck's on a stick, it's in the net. And he's got, for a player that's not really big right now, he protects the puck pretty well, down low, you know, below the circles and those kinds of areas. He can protect the puck. And he's got an unbelievable shot, great release. And again, like, he's just one of those guys that all of a sudden he's open and the puck's in the net. And he is a really interesting guy for me. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. Obviously, he's not the biggest player in the world. And, you know, that will be a determining factor maybe for some teams. But in terms of his skill level, he's near the top.
Yeah, the timing of this couldn't have been better, right, John? It's like when I was at the final meetings with all of you, I was going around to a lot of the scouts, including yourself, and I was asking, you know, what about the skill level of these young players nowadays? It seems like, you know, teams they're not distracted from whether the guy is a skillful forward or a power forward. You take the next available player, and if it happens to be a skill guy, so be it. And Furkus certainly looks like that type of guy for sure.
Yeah. Like, you know, and I think the thing that, you know, we always have to keep in the back of our minds is we are in the entertainment business, and people love to watch players make those kinds of plays. You know, I think he's an exciting player. He's fun to watch. And like I said, I think it'll just be really interesting to see where he ends up going.
Yeah. Are there maybe one or two players on your radar, John, who haven't been discussed here, who you feel, you know, with the proper development have the potential to become special NHL players in the future?
Well, the one guy for sure would be Kevin Korchinski that's in Seattle. He's a top end player for this year's draft. I think he set a record for assists for defensemen, like hasn't been for 30 some odd years or something like that. He was player of the week this week in the Western League in the first couple games of the playoffs. He had 6 assists, I think, in the 2 games. This guy is a very good playmaker, very deceptive with the puck on his stick. And another kid that you know, at the under 18 camp in the summertime, there were some moments where I thought he struggled a little bit flat footed at times. But his confidence has just grown and grown and grown over the course of the year. I think his defensive game will be part of his game that will need to grow some more. But Kent Nielsen said to me one time that you don't have to defend very well if you have the puck all the time. So he's one of those kinds of guys that he has the puck a lot. He makes very good decisions with the puck and he's very difficult to check. So he's one name that we'll hear his name early. Another guy that really stands out for me that I'm a big fan of him as a player is Fraser Minton that plays in Kamloops. He's a guy that I think he's a coach's dream, this player. Like he thinks the game so well. He can play anywhere up and down your lineup, play center. He can play the wing. He's first off the bench to kill penalties. He takes key face-offs. When they've had injuries to some of their first line guys in Kamloops, he'll step in on the first unit on the power play and is productive there, or he plays in the second power play. Like just a very smart, poised player that has a very good possession game. He likes the puck. He can hold on to the puck. He's got that ability to wait that extra split second and make the right play. So he's another player that I really like.
Well, that's all good stuff, John. We'll keep our eye out there for Kurchinski and Minton. But thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to John Williams for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. Mike, a lot of great information there from John. What stood out to you?
I've been watching Owen Pickering, the left-handed D from Canada at the U18s, and I've been impressed with what he has to bring. You know, few defensemen in this draft, Adam, have the pure combination of the size and skill that Pickering has. And I know I did ask him, is a team maybe, you know, looking at that higher ceiling for Pickering if they do get him mid first round? But as you heard John say, I don't think, you know, it's a stretch to think that Pickering could go, you know, top 10 in this draft, just because it's very rare to have a 6'5" defenseman with that type of skill, you know, that type of, ability on his skates. So it's rare. So I think that teams are going to be looking for a player like that. That skating puck skills are already quite good and are still improving. He could develop into an all situations top pair D at the NHL level. And you know, obviously that's a role he's playing for Canada. So it's a great test for him. I've enjoyed watching him play for the team. And I think, you know, overall, he's done a real nice job with Seattle in the Western Hockey League this year. So Owen Pickering is a player for me that maybe he's not too much of a wild card, but it's going to be interesting to see where he winds up in this draft.
You know, another guy that we're all kind of interested to see where he ends up is Connor Geeky from Winnipeg. You know, there's a school of thought that people just love him. They see him as a quote unquote franchise center you can build your team around. When you look at the size of 6'3" and 193 pounds, and so he's gonna get bigger and stronger as he gets with an NHL strength coach. But there's also people who say they look at the skating and they question it. You know, can he keep up to the pace in the NHL? And I think it was really interesting that John mentioned he's got a similar skating style to Joe Thornton. Well, we all know what Joe Thornton's done, you know, 19, 20 years in the league. He's bound for the Hall of Fame. So I don't think anybody's going to quite put that label on Connor Geeky right now. But if that's the foundation, maybe teams say, okay, well, maybe the skating isn't A++. And then you compare him to Matt Savoy, who's a wizard on the ice, and nobody's going to look good compared to Matt Savoy. So is Connor Geeky, I mean, he's not a bad skater, certainly, but could it use some work? For sure. And as he gets older, as he gets with better NHL people, it will get better. And obviously John's watched him enough. He has that confidence that Geeky can get to where he needs to get to, that, you know, the comparison to Joe Thornton, the comparison to his brother who's played in the NHL, he's playing in Seattle, Morgan Geeky. So he's athletic. He's smart. He knows what he needs to do to get better. You know, you got to trust that maybe Connor Geeky could be that guy. You know, if you're looking for a big, strong center, top line guy, maybe that's an area you look in the upper half, the first half of the draft.
Yeah, I do like the Joe Thornton comparison. When I was at Central's final meetings, I went around the table to ask if there was another comparison or comparable to be made to Geeky. And some of the players, Adam, were discussing Brock Nelson of the New York Islanders as well. So, you know, two good players there. Obviously, Nelson's, you know, had a lot of success with the New York Islanders. So there's another player for sure that, you know, when you look at the capability that he might have in the NHL at some point, Connor Geeky. And I know you did mention the skating early on, and John said that he doesn't think that's going to be a major issue. So it'll be interesting seeing where Connor goes. It'll be the first time this year we know for certain that both Connor Geeky and Matt Savoy are going to go in the first round. And it'll be the first time in history that two Winnipeg players will go in the first round of the draft. But Matt Savoy is another one, right? This was the player. He's the elite player in a dub, so to speak, at this point. The right-handed shot. James Patrick, the coach at Winnipeg, told me when I spoke to him that he thinks, you know, Savoy's future will be right wing in the NHL. He says at the dub level, he's good defensively. He can play the last minute of a game to protect the lead. He's totally fine out there. But he does think at the NHL level, when you play some of the top teams and how big the centers are, that might be a factor. It's a different game now, but Patrick said he does really see him as a top six forward in the NHL at some point. He'll need, you know, some developing after being drafted, but it won't take too long. But for the most part, I like what Matt Savoy has to bring to the game. And obviously, John Williams loves what he sees in the player.
There's a lot there to like with Matt, but let's go to that interview we did with Matt Savoy from the CHL Top Prospects game.
So, Matthew, how has spending last season in the USHL with Dubuque, how did that help you make the transition into this season?
Yeah, I thought it was a good experience for me to go down there and get some really good development. With the unknown of the Western League starting last year, I was really just keen into to getting some games and getting back on the ice for sure. So I thought coming into this season, being able to just step in full form after playing a full season last year was huge.
Can you talk a little bit about the impact of your brother, Carter? I mean, starring at the University of Denver, what has he meant to you and how has maybe he helped you in your development?
Yeah, me and Carter have been really close from a young age, and we're actually fortunate enough to play together one time in Bantam. But, yeah, he's definitely been a really big supporter, having gone through this process a couple of years ago, just providing insight and a little experience, you know, along the way has been huge. And, you know, we still talk every day, FaceTime every day. He's having a really good year in Denver, so I'm really happy for him.
Was there any thought for you to taking that college route? You know, was that ever something you seriously considered?
Yeah, it was definitely an option. I actually went down and toured Denver with my brother, and we thought it was a good fit. But ultimately, you know, when Winnipeg drafted me and I met the staff there, met the players, went down and saw the facility, I thought it was a really good fit for me as well. And I just really wanted to get the best competition out there.
So speaking of competition, take me into the family dynamic. You got a brother who's ultra competitive. You're ultra competitive. What were the basement knee hockey games like? Anybody? You know, we were talking to somebody else. We were talking to Geeky. He said guys went through the wall. Anything like that with your family when you're playing in your basement?
Yeah, it wasn't actually knee hockey. My dad works for the city of Edmonton, so he was fortunate enough. They were taking down a rink, and he got all the boards. So he set up the boards in the basement. We got a little rink down there, and we actually had an unfinished basement, so it was pretty much the whole basement was a rink, and we'd play floor hockey, road hockey, I guess, out there, and it would get pretty chippy. So someone's losing a tooth, and so I get a couple bloody noses. So it was always fun, always competitive.
Who'd break up the fights, mom or dad?
Dad would always be the one coming down. Yeah, he's usually watching anyway, so he's already there.
Nice.
What is it about, and I know you're a big fan of Braden Point and watching what he does, what is it about Braden Point that has you hooked?
I think his relentlessness to, you know, always be around the puck, always be involved in the play. I think he's such a tenacious player out there, and he's always got his feet moving. So he's always effective, you know, whether that's in the offensive zone or the defensive zone. And he's just a player that I can really learn from.
Is there something in your game, about your game, that maybe you feel is not given enough credit or, you know, scouts and fans need to know about you?
I think my shot release. I think, you know, in the last few months, I've really been doing a lot of upper body work and just trying to get a lot stronger. So I think the quickness of it and the accuracy of it has gotten a lot better and really is improving.
There's so much pressure on you guys this season. How is it having Connor Geeky sort of, he's with you in Winnipeg, you know, you're going through the same process. You're both, you know, prospective first round draft picks. How much has it helped having him, a guy you can sort of lean on, ask questions to, you know, share things with? How much has that helped you this season?
Yeah, me and Geeks are obviously really close, and, you know, having a guy like that around is big for both of us. You know, going through this experience together, being able to take a little bit of pressure off each other and keep things light has really gone a long way, and just having fun with the experience, you know, taking it for what it is, and, you know, be having a guy to talk to about it is huge.
What is it that makes Connor such a special player?
I think, you know, his size is obviously something that stands out, but the way he possesses the puck and his shot, he's got really good hands, and he makes good plays with the puck when he's got it, and his shot, he's just got a missile out there, and he can pick his corner.
How has Coach James Patrick helped in your development?
Jeep's been a really good role model for me from the first day I got to Winnipeg. You know, with his NHL experience, you can really trust that he's, you know, looking out for your best interests, and he knows how to get to the next level. So definitely had a lot of talks with Jeep over the past couple of years, and he's been really big for me and Connor.
What does it mean for Winnipeg to have two players that could possibly go top 10 in this draft?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting for the city of Winnipeg. We're a bit of a new team in the Western League, moving from Kootenay a couple of years ago. So, you know, with Lambos going first round last year, Krebs a couple of years ago, I think the building block for our team has really been set, and it's exciting. It's exciting for the whole city of Winnipeg.
Thank you very much, Matt. Best of luck to you rest of the season. It's been great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Matt Savoy, Mike, what stood out to you about some of the things we learned about him today?
Well, you know, first off, it was the question right off the bat when he was discussing the United States Hockey League and what it did for him last season, right, Adam? I mean, it's responsible on his end, you know, knowing that the Western Hockey League, you know, they weren't going to play a full season. It was kind of sketchy with COVID going on, and the USHL was playing, you know, pretty much a full season, and Savoy went to the USHL. You know, he thought it was a good opportunity to continue the development because, you know, with the WHL and the question marks surrounding it, he just didn't know what was going to happen. So I thought he had a real good year, right? He ranked second among rookies in the USHL in goals, fifth in points in 34 games. He had four game-winning goals. He contributed on the power play. He had two shorthanded goals, fifth on debut and shooting percentage as well. So I thought it was a real productive season for Matt Savoy and what he was able to do. And he also made the USHL all rookie team. So he was productive in that area. And I think entering this season, because he did what he did in 2019 or 2020-21, he was able to, you know, come out of the gates roaring. And as a rookie in the dub this year, really, you know, played well at the start and continue that progression throughout the season. So I like what Savoy was able to do. And you know, I think it, you know, a lot of scouts respect what he did. It's not an easy decision to do something like that. I know Winnipeg coach James Patrick, former NHL defenseman there, he actually said that this was a great, great opportunity for him to, you know, to play in the USHL and you know, shake that rust off. And this year you can tell that he was a player that did play the previous season and did flourish in that league.
Well, just getting to play, right? Just get, and we've done it. We've talked to enough kids who play in the Ontario League who didn't get to play last year, how much it was an issue for them, you know, trying to get back into game shape, get their game legs back under them. The fact that he was able to play as many games as he did, you know, the fact that he was successful is just icing on the cake. The fact that he just got to play, continue to develop, continue to get stronger, continue to just grow all the positive things about his game. Yes, it absolutely gave him a leg up coming into this season. And his results and the season that he's had is certainly, you know, a glimpse of why it was the right decision for him. But, you know, what I think also helps him or has helped him become the player that he is having an older brother. And he talked about Carter Savoy at the University of Denver, a few years older than him, Edmonton Oilers prospect, and how, you know, watching Carter go through all the things that Matt's going through now has helped him. And I love the stuff about the battles in the basement and the dad, you know, taking the board from the rink home with him and building a rink in his basement. I mean, you can't get much better than that, you know, and of course there's going to be chipped teeth and bloody noses and fights and all that stuff growing up. But, you know, that's where that sort of greatness is forged, right? In those battles in the basement, even when you're not realizing it's brother on brother, but there's a toughening there and there's a competition there, and it builds that competition because he might not be competing against his brother now, but you can't tell me he doesn't see his brother in the face of every defenseman he goes against, every, you know, guy checking forward is trying to slow him down. He wants to beat that guy because he's grown up trying to beat that guy for his whole life.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, and it's a great sounding board, right? To have an older brother like that to talk about things, not only hockey, but life in general. You need that kind of conversation over the course of a long hockey season. And one of the things that, you know, always intrigues me, I guess, you know, you as well, is learning how, you know, how these players compare themselves to NHL players. And I thought in Savoy's case, you know, really, he really, you know, looks at Braden Point of the Tampa Bay Lightning and likes to watch him and maybe compare himself to him and down the road and try to emulate what he does on the ice. So, you know, smaller, faster players, you know, players that he likes watching. And also Matt Barzal has been a player that I think a lot of the NHL scouts have compared Matt Savoy to, that quickness that he's able to generate out of his own end. And he's really good on the back check. James Patrick told me that he gets back into his own end and is able to, you know, force guys back and he pressures them with that speed that he possesses. So it's always interesting to see how these players like to compare to NHL players, because it gives you kind of an idea of possibly, you know, what they may look like when they do reach the NHL.
Well, Matt Savoy is playing in the WHL playoffs right now, but that's not the only hockey going on, Mike. We got the World Under 18 Championships going on in Germany right now, and there are a number of top prospects from the 2022 draft that are having standout turns in that tournament.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, we spoke to John Williams about a few of them. You know, Owen Pickering, the defenseman from Swift Current, is having a real nice tournament for Canada. You know, you look at left wing Rieger Lorenz from the Alberta Junior Hockey League. He's number 24 in the midterm ranks, also with Canada. And the United States team, you know, with Logan Cooley and Jimmy Snuggerud, Cutter Gauthier, Frank Nazar, Rucker McGroarty. It just goes on and on. And the thing about the United States team, which is really thriving in this tournament, Adam, and I think a lot of people know this too. I mean, we talked about it when Adam Nightingale was on NHL draft class a few weeks ago, but this NTDP team gears up for this. They're together the entire season. They play an entire USHL schedule. They play against college opponents. They're accustomed to each other. They're used to one another. So when you see line 1, 2, 3, 4, just coming out onto the ice, you know, it's easy to see why it's pretty much seamless. It's just flawless when they come out on the ice, and it's just one line after the other that they're able to generate offense. And they've been really impressive in the U18s this year.
And one guy you left out of that list is Isaac Howard. 4 goals against Canada in the U.S.'s opening 8-3 win, 5 goals in 2 games. And as you mentioned, Adam Nightingale talked about Isaac Howard on the last edition of NHL Draft Class. I highly recommend you going back to listen to that. He also talked a lot about Logan Cooley, Cutter Gauthier, as Mike mentioned. So, you know, you can hear about these guys before you see them, and then you'll be able to watch them. All the U.S. games from the Under-18 tournament are on the NHL Network, right, Mike?
Yep, they're all on the NHL Network, and you know there are other prospects from different countries that have been having impressive tournaments. You know, Joachim Kamel from Finland is here. You know, Jiří Kulich is another one from Czechia. He just had a hat trick against Canada. Kulich is having a really, really nice tournament, and he's ranked number 22 on the international side of NHL Central Scouting's international ranks. So. A lot of good players here that are going to be drafted relatively high in 2022. So it's interesting.
You can keep following all the action at the World Under 18s on the NHL Network. The tournament runs through May 1st. You can also go back and check out all of our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We had on Adam Nightingale, the coach of the U.S. National Team program. We've talked to Shane Wright, Brad Lambert. Next time, Mike, we'll have on Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, who will give us all the inside info on the final rankings and much more.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's always a fun show when Dan comes on. We talk about the final rankings. It's kind of the kickoff to the big lead-in, right, Adam, into the NHL draft. And Of course, this year, Dan did say that there's going to be some good centermen, some real good defensemen, and a lot of right-handed D as well on the international side. So a lot to look forward to in next week's episode with Dan Moore.
And he'll also tell us how much coffee you drank at the final meetings while you were sitting in with the scouts.
Yeah, not enough. Not enough.
That's for next time. But as for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.